We're getting into Colossians again this evening. Lord willing, we're in the third chapter of Colossians. Last week it was so precious. I just was so encouraged again. It is truly amazing to me how God continues to tie in just His thoughts in my life. We shouldn't be surprised, but I do stand in awe with Him all the time, don't you? Just how good He is to the little things. And I appreciate the prayers, and I appreciate God allowing me to trust Him more in my life. And as my confidence is growing in Him, He's allowing the boldness of His Spirit to grow in my life. And it's a precious thing. I don't fret as much anymore. I don't worry about things as much anymore. There truly is becoming a meditation and a communication with my Lord and Savior on another plane. And I attribute it to Him, His love, and the love that we have for one another. So praise God for that. But in our study last week, which was so precious, again, is to seeking those things that are above. Getting out of the rudiments and the elements of this world. And, you know, again, just the time that we're born. How beautiful and wonderful that God has had such grace upon our lives to give us this age that we have been born into. I got to thinking about my brothers and sisters in the Old Testament and what a precious time that they had with God, seeing marvelous things that God did and the wonders of the types and signs. But many of those types and signs, I could appreciate Brother Daniel as he wanted to see more. And God said, "Brother, that isn't for you." And I could see in a sense and felt a heartache in a sense for him that he wanted to see more. But God perfected that faith. God authored and finished that faith for him just as he does all of his children. And it depends on us what kind of faith we're going to meet him with. What are we going to accept in our lives that God's faith is going to do? And he'll finish it no matter what it is. I want all faith by the grace of God, as we've talked about, is we want all faith in our life to believe all the Word of God. It's not that some chapters were written for understanding and some were not written for understanding. You'll talk to certain Christians. Many times I've heard people say, "Well, Revelation, that's a book that's written, but it's not for us to understand." And I just sit there, good grief, what in the world was that? God isn't a God of torture and torment. He's a God of comfort and revelation and knowledge and understanding of His Word. And He's given us these sweet things. But getting back to that thought of my brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, of again, those types and signs. And there was a sweet brother, and he's here tonight, and he said, I remember, talking to him about 5-6 months ago. He says, "Oh, Brother Jess, I need somebody to come in here and connect them dots for me. And, I just need dots connected here. I need page one and, going forward and all that." And I appreciate that. It's precious. But, by the grace of God, He gave a messenger that really did that for us, and that was our brother Paul. Paul opened it up by the grace of God. Now, that's the Holy Spirit that did that in his life. But he was given that dispensation. He was given that revelation. You have questions on how, by the grace of God, in a sense, to live your life. We live by faith. He made it very clear. He said, we live by faith. And it's by grace that we even have that faith. And then he lays out all of these things of how, by the grace of God, we get confidence in the Lord. It's by worship. And worship happens in spirit and in truth. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. Those are the things that are going to build us up. And then He specifically lays out for us things that we should meditate on, things that we should strive, things that we should turn away from. God tells us the things that are good and the things that are evil. For every place and every position. We're talking, Lord willing, in the next couple of weeks, again, we'll talk about husbands and wives and children and servants and masters and all of these wonderful things. And God tells in each one very specifically the life of faith that can be magnified in each one of those positions. And I believe all of us in one shape or... Well, we all had to be a child at one time. We were born to somebody, huh? So we at least covered there, and hopefully we're working. And some, might have people that work for them. So God, again, is so good to us and so wondrous to us that He leaves no doubt. And I got to thinking about that, how Brother Paul, things were covered. Things were left sometimes unknowing. There were mysteries to things. But He sure did open it up for us, didn't He? Praise God. And that's what, by grace, we're going to study this evening. Now, last week again, verses 5 through 9, those were the things to mortify in our life. I really appreciate that. Got to speak with the brother again. Things to reckon dead in our life. Look at those things. The fornication, the uncleanness, the evil concupiscence. That was in the fifth verse. And then it went down to even get a little bit more, some people that think, oh yeah, I don't have a problem with a lot of different sexual things in my life. Okay, well let's pull out these. How about anger? Wrath? A little bit vicious there with malice? Blasphemy? Filthy communication out of your mouth? Lie not one to another? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay? We need Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. Amen. And it's not when we're sick that we need Him. It's not when we just have dire things going on in our life. We need Jesus. And we need Him every day. And by His grace, we need to learn to turn to Him every day and say, Lord, help me to live this day to trust You. Praise God. Okay, let's get into that 10th verse. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to try to get that through the 17th verse. Again, beginning in the 10th verse, and we'll read through 17. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Again, this is get into the knowledge of the One who has given you this new man and be renewed in Him. Obviously, this is Christ. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. And it was so funny in really finding out who the Scythian was. That's even below a barbarian. I mean, we're starting to really scrape the bottom of the barrel with that guy there. Those were the below barbarians, they said, that kind of resided around the Black Sea in southern Russia there. So, you know, God encouraged Paul to speak to everybody. There isn't anybody left out with Jesus. That's a soul before you every day, brothers and sisters. I don't care how evil that person is. I don't care how wicked, how uncouth, ugly, stupid, whatever it is. That's a soul. And God sent His Son to die for that soul just as much as He did yours. So let's get a little humble in the love of God in our life towards one another. But it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So wonderful. I appreciate that in the ninth verse there. But going back to 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, here's your choice, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'll tell you, let's really listen to that, brothers and sisters, and especially some brothers here in the meeting. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye in those quarrels. We're not about that. That's just going to be things that are principalities and spiritual wickedness. We're not fighting each other. We need to get on with the things of above. Praise God. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. Oh yes, I love it. And above all these things, in the 14th verse, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Isn't that amazing how God just does it so wonderfully? That word all. It's just amazing to me. It's not some, it's not partway, it's not kind of, it's not somewhat, it's all. Isn't that wonderful about your Savior? He wants us perfect by the grace of God, and we can be delivered in that fashion to be found perfect and complete in all the will of God. I keep giving that secret up in chapter 4, verse 12 that we're coming into. But that's what He's after, and we're going to culminate in that by the grace of God. But again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Such wonderful words of encouragement. Okay, back into the 10th verse. Now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. Now in this new man, we finally are going to live. If we're going to enter into this, we're going to really live who we are. Praise God. You know, the world talks a lot about trying to find yourself. Everybody's in search of something. And mainly you hear many of these talkers anymore. That's kind of what to call them, just the talkers out there. We're going to go find yourself. Huh? Find out who you really are. You know what we need to do, brothers and sisters? We need to find ourselves in God. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be a life that'll be so joyful to you. It'll be a life that'll be rich. It'll be a life that's fulfilling. See, anything of this world, I'm just going to tell you, it's a fact, it's a promise. You may say, oh brother, you don't know my life. Anything in this world that you're going to put before God is an idol. And what's going to happen as a child of God is it's going to turn to spoil. It's going to turn to nothing. And it's going to turn to nothing on this earth. And it's not going to satisfy you. And you're going to end up in despair. And you're going to end up just knowing, and a very much remorseful knowing, that you've wasted it. I don't want to see us come to that day. I don't want to waste my life by the grace of God. I want to live the precious stone life. I don't want to live the wood, hay, and the stubble. Do you? Those things are going to burn. Now, he's saved still, as the Word tells us. A lot of people say, oh, see, you're going to burn. No, the person's not going to burn. It's just the work that's going to burn. I want the work that's by His grace, in faith, that's going to be my precious stone. And He's laying it up for me up there. Praise God. And I forget those things which are behind. Even those wonderful accomplishments and accolades that God has given me through my life. And I praise God that He has caused me to be faithful in some things. Huh? Maybe in a few things. You know those people that were faithful in some and a few things. Let me tell you something. They're ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. They're going to rule and reign with Him. That's what I'm after. That's what, by the grace of God, this, again, this wonderful little body that we have in this assembly, to be that body that's going to be taken out. Oh, praise God, of the church herself. Thank you, Jesus. But again, when we are living anything apart from who we really are as children of the King. Okay? I'm a child of the King. Amen. I am. You know, and I was thinking about, even in the natural, I was a child of John and Nancy Odorcio. I loved my parents, and I love them dearly. And you know what? By the grace of God, the Lord wanted me to honor my mom and dad. And He caused me to. And I wanted to bring honor to my mom and my dad. I wanted to do the best I could in school. I wanted to do the best I could in sports. I wanted to do good things, in a sense, to please my folks. Now, that might sound corny to a lot of people. That might sound strange and weird and all that. But it's not, I hope, I really am not trying to focus on me. I'm telling you what God did in my life. And I believe by the grace of God, we can be parents and we can be children that can be in accord with God. And that is a godly thing, is to honor our mom and dad. Always. Not just till I hit 18 and then, okay, it's my life. It's always. It's forever. By the grace of God, as long as they are on this earth, that is my mom and my dad. And I still honor my dad today, by the grace of God, in things that he instructed me to do. And I know God, in his faithfulness, will profit me in that when I honor my mom and dad. I mean that. I know it's a promise. Now, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more as a child of the King? Gets you kind of thinking, doesn't it? Gosh, I never really thought of it that way. I want to bring honor by the grace of God to my Lord and Savior. I want to live a life of love. I want people to see Christ in me. It really is true. It's wonderful to have words of love and praise. But our actions, brothers and sisters, speak much more most of the time than words. We've heard the expression, by the grace of God, we need to be able to walk the walk. Okay? That's what it's about. I've had a lot of criticism the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the Lord, I appreciate, has encouraged me in a lot of things. And we need to be able to love. And we need to be able to also understand that, you know, people might perceive things a certain way and all of that. But you know what? By the grace of God, I got to walk before Him. And that's who I need to please. And by the grace of God, I hope and I pray as I walk pleasing before Him, it'll be at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So there you go. I'm not mentioning any names. Okay. No, I'm just teasing. All right. But see, here we're talking about living an anointed glory life. Praise God. And what is a glory life? It tells us right here. It is the knowledge of Him. So simple. So precious. I think, and again, how really honest anymore these big evangelists, the TV evangelists are. And I've heard actually now the second one say it. We don't preach doctrine here. Very adamant. They say, we're not going to preach doctrine here because the people don't want doctrine. Well, how true? The Word of God said they wouldn't. They're not going to stand for it. They're not going to bear it. They're not going to want sound doctrine. We're not going to have anything to do. People want practical talk in their life. People want practical meaning of what maybe God wants you to live and how He wants you to live. I appreciate that. I believe God is very specific with how husbands are to be and wives are to be and kids are to be, how you're supposed to do your finances. Read the Word of God. It's very clear. You even listen to the Word, I think He'd even help you invest things a little bit. Not kidding. We don't just cast it out there, do we? Now that's a whole different sermon. Now I got your attention. But I'll tell you, He'll increase you spiritually. I don't want to get to thinking that we entice anybody that way. But by the grace of God, you know, you talk about a gimmick. And I remember this man, probably about a month ago, what's your gimmick? What's your hook to bring people into your meeting? You know, they all got that. And I thought, well, I guess the gimmick and hook we have anymore is by the grace of God, we preach the doctrine. You know, the only thing is I know that men aren't going to bear it. They're not going to stand for it at this time in a lot of ways. But, you know, God is faithful and God would have wrapped this thing up a long time ago. I really do believe if there weren't more to come and more to be finished. And I'm trusting Him for that. And I pray that we can be a meeting that can be that group of people that can be finished for Him. Not that we're the only ones, but I believe that we're a people after the very heart of God. And praise to Him for that. But again, this is the knowledge of Him. The very image, as it says here in the 10th verse of Him. Growing up into Him, into all things. You want godliness in your life? I want godliness in my life. This is it. Know Jesus. The only way you're going to know Him is by faith. The only way we're going to get faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Appreciated a question this week again from somebody asking me about really that hearing by the Word of God. Go read there in the 10th chapter of Romans. It'll explain it to you even a little bit more clearly. How can we hear without a preacher? Huh? And how can we preach if we're not sent by the grace of God? And that's what I rely on by His grace, is that He has sent me to give the Word of God. He has prepared my feet, shod with the gospel, to give out the Word of God this evening. That's who my trust is in. And that's the hearing by the grace of God that we need in our life that is going to build faith in us. And yielding to that and believing this Word that He is giving to us. So again, we can be men and women in the very image of God. And how? By knowledge. It's heavenly. It's divine knowledge. The knowledge of truth and love, which is in His Son Jesus. Again, how do we grow? By grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's another couple dots connected for us this evening. All right, let's keep going. I love the dots, huh? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And hallelujah, this is the key to it all. It comes down to yielded lives. Yielded lives live Christ in us, just like we read earlier in this wonderful word. Christ in me is the hope of glory. This is what Christ is encouraging us to go into. This is the correction. This is the Colossians that says, look, this is perfecting time by the grace of God to enter into complete and full faith, assurance of God finishing His work in me. And how wonderful this is that this verse, praise God, it only points to one thing, the new creation, doesn't it? And who is the new creation? What is the new creation? It's Jesus Christ in me. So wonderful. I don't fret about how to live my life. I don't worry in a sense of how am I going to be holy today? You know, there's people that get up every day and say, what good things can I do today for God? I've heard so many ministers. One of the biggest ministers in town has taken out a big article and he said, I wanted to do something great for God and here's what He's given me to do. That's not how you approach Him. We can't do anything but praise Him and trust Him and believe Him. The working of faith in our life is what He will produce. Praise God. I'm telling you. He is a free giver of reward and fruit, and it's His fruit that's produced in our life. And I praise Him and thank Him that He continues to allow me to see more and more of that truth. But again, what we are in Him is all that matters. This verse is what is talking about here. It's not my education. It's not my looks. It's not my bank account. It's not my popularity. It's Him. It truly is Him. Praise God when we have certain attributes and characteristics about our life and talents. As you hear me say to the young people many, many times, go out and get that education. God has given you that door, go get it. By the grace of God, if God has given you an idea and He's opened up a door for you to be in some type of a business and whatever, glorify the Lord in it. It is wonderful to magnify the Lord. Let me tell you, there's not many wise and not many mighty, but when God does give His child that, and the child by the grace of God can handle it and still give glory to God, what a testimony. Isn't it wonderful? I praise God for that. Don't shy away from those things. There'll be jealous Christians out there that'll tell you, oh, God doesn't want you to have that. Don't go that way. Boy, if you're driving that kind of car or you have that big a house, that's not a godly thing. There's nuts out there. Don't listen to nuts. I'm just telling you, He is someone that wants to give you things by the grace of God. And I do appreciate so much Brother Hill and his stand. I do. See, people would come in after years, if Jesus tarries by the grace of God and He still has me here, I believe there will be things I'll face like that with people that don't know me and I don't know very well too. Well, Brother Jesse, how could you drive a car like that? How could I not drive a car like that? God gave it to me. What do you think? Amen. God gives us what we need, brothers and sisters. If I just said, hey, look, oh, I'm not going to have that because God, that's a sin. Did you realize that? I'm in my pride. If I don't receive something from God that He wants to give me, I'm not trusting Him fully. And it says right in here, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I want to believe Him for things. There's some great great mountains He's still taking me over. Praise His name. But I hope we're going to get this stuff. Again, whether we're from the uptown or downtown, whether we're brown, white, black, whatever our color, our creed, all that matters is if we're Christians. It's true. All that matters is if we're Christians and growing in Christ. Okay, let's get on to verse 12. Put on, therefore. I love it. Here we go as a choice. Here we go. As the elect of God. Oh, and I want to be elect. Praise God. And He has elected me. I want to be holy. And He has made me holy. And beloved, bowels of mercy. Here we go, the clothing. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Again, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So I believe in this verse He's saying, okay, let's go on and grow on in me. And I love how He describes me, elect of God. Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize that you've been called and chosen in Him before the foundations of the world? You ever wanted to feel special? I hope you see this. You're elect of God. Oh, it couldn't be me, huh? Not with what I did today. If you're His child, you're elect. Praise God. He's elected you. Now there's a couple more words coming that He wants you to grow into by the grace of God. Now holy, praise His name, is the next one. And before Christ, before the foundation of the world, He saw that I would be holy. And I am holy, and I don't care again what somebody may think of me. I am holy as He is holy because I have the blood of Christ and it covers me. His grace covers me. His undying, unending, never depart love covers me. Talk to a sweet brother about just something about coverings and different things for men. And it's so precious how we got into 1 Corinthians. Man has been made in the very image of God. And that's why we don't cover our head. That's right. Not to the woman, but to the man, we're in His image. What a precious thing to know that God, in this creation, how wondrous we are to Him, that He has created us in His very image. I just marvel at that. Brother Dan was sharing with me some marvels about the body today, and I so appreciate him and pray for him, because I think the Lord's really dealing with him with a study that I'd like him to be encouraged to write down. Would definitely encourage so many lives here this evening. But now here we go. I am beloved. What an offering and a call to have Him say to me, my beloved. Are you hearing that? Is that the coup, the call that God has given to your life? I believe a lot of us are moving into that, praise God. The wooing of Christ Himself. The call is in the Song of Solomon. My desire is toward you. Amen. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. See, it's getting easier for me by the grace of God to apprehend Him, because I know I'm apprehended. See? It goes back to that very simple verse, I love Him because He first loved me. Isn't it? You can just bring it right back. How God just builds that in our life and builds it in our life. And He's calling to us. He's saying, trust me. Trust me to cause you to be ready. Hallelujah. Take of me. Ready yourself in the truth. Grace and knowledge and love. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His Father is in search of a goodly pearl. Praise Him. Without price, it says. He's searching for His namesake. He is searching by the grace of God for those who will make up New Jerusalem, the bride adorned, my love, my dove, my fair one. But even though we are holy, there is a choice to grow and to be like Him and to win Him. And I love these garments that it talks about here. And the garments, I think before we read those, I'd like to go back over here to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. When I was a kid in junior high, the Lord started dealing with me about this verse, about waking up every morning and what I was putting on. Just as an early teen, isn't that something? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward by the grace of God. How do I put Him on? I remember that, Lord, how do I put You on? He said, know me. Know me. Trust me. Believe in me. Believe I'm Your deliverer. Believe I'm Your sufficiency. Believe I'm Your cover. I can be all things to You. Put on my armor. And I love that. So precious. But now in this Colossians, there's a perfection that God's going after. And He's asking to clothe us in the full wardrobe of God. Think about these things here. The bowels of mercy is the first one. That's a heart of compassion. That's love as Christ's love. Now many times, and I'm not trying to step on toes, but I'm talking about my life as well too. I'd come in and out of this meeting. I'd come in to get fed. I'd come in, but there'd be no fellowship. There'd be no more than that. And I would just leave. I felt really good. But for some reason, my life didn't grow. And I appreciated Brother Hill bringing out the study on the Sea of Galilee versus the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has a river running into it. But you know what? That's all that happens. It runs into it and nothing flows out of it. And it's dead. It's full of salt. It's stagnant. Has no life. The Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, has a river that runs into it. And it has a river that runs out of it. And it's a wonderful thing. It's teeming with life. It has it all, abundance of fishes and things of that nature. Because it receives the Word of God and it gives out the Word of God. Hezekiah was a wonderful king. It says the greatest thing that the Lord allowed him to do was it said that he brought the water into the city. I love that about that king, because it meant to me that he was bringing in the word of God to the people. And God increased him and said he was a man that sought the Lord as David did. He was a king that did. He was the last king, by the way, and the only king really that it ever says sought the Lord like David did. What an honor and what a privilege. Because of the word of God. Because of the precepts and the things that he had put in his life. And I do so appreciate that about him. Going on, the next one is kindness. Good-hearted, tender-hearted one towards another. The next one is humbleness of mind. That's the lowliness of mind. That speaks of the rug. By the grace of God, we're entering into the Palm Sunday time. The triumphant return of Christ. Or the entry, as it says. And he was on that lowly donkey, wasn't he? Humility, brothers and sisters. That's the lowliness of mind. And by the grace of God, we need to seek that as well, that Christ made himself of no reputation. We're here by the grace of God to stand in defense of the gospel. But it's amazing that if we don't care who gets the credit for things in our life, what God can do in our life. You ever thought about that? See, a lot of times we like to be standing out there and to be seen. Oh, look who I am. Look what I've done. Brothers and sisters, this is God's ministry. And we're all just a part of it. And we're taking the place by His grace in what we are in this ministry. But by His grace, He's using each and every one of us in the way He needs to use us. So let's continue and keep on keeping on with Him. But see, Christ again made Himself of no reputation. I am what I am by the grace of God. The next one is meekness. That's grace of the soul. We talked a little bit about that on Sunday. That's accepting God's dealings with us without resisting. To say, it is well with my soul. Again, we talk about it so many times. Easy for me to sing on the mountaintops. And I appreciated a brother I talked to the other day. He says, you know, those mountaintops sometimes are overrated. The wind's pretty stiff up there. I thought that was pretty funny. He's been down in the valley for quite a while. So the Lord's encouraged him to stay down there, I guess. But there's precious fruit in that valley. And the fruit only grows. There's some fruit that only grows down there too. So we need by the grace of God to say, it's well with my soul. Which brings us into long-suffering. That's the patient restraint when we're provoked and tried. Complete opposite, as again we talked on Sunday. It's the complete opposite of self-pity. When we're in the trial and we're going to be self-pity. When we're in the trial and we're going to be angry about being in the trial. We are not being exercised by long-suffering in our life. It's not happening. I'm just going to tell you. I want the profit. If I'm already in the trial and I'm there, at least I want a profit in it. How about you? Huh? I do. I don't want to waste my time when I'm down in there. I want to give glory to God. I want to say, Lord, I know it's for my good. I want to be in long suffering with you. And if it's 7 years like old brother Jacob had to enter into for Leah. And so I got in trouble with my wife, and she's back there now. Somebody gave her the report. I thought she was downstairs and couldn't hear, but see, everybody goes and tells. There's no woman worth 7 years. So I was hearing that in the house this week. But there was a woman worth 14, and I married her. How's that? Okay. So, praise God. But see, that's perseverance in faith. And that's what we need to have in our life. And there's a joyfulness in the Lord. And I want to be, by the grace of God, like an Isaac. I want to be laughter. I want to be able to praise Him and sing and say, Lord, You got a sense of humor. You made me, and we go through life, and I'm stumbling and bumbling, and we're having a good old time. All right, then forbearing. Love this one. Such a precious thing. The Lord encouraged me to lift up one another. And how do we lift up one another in prayer? Isn't that a sweet thing? You don't think you can do much for somebody? Pray for them. That's the greatest thing you could ever do. That's it. You know, there's the mockers of God are out there. Oh, well, we did the big study. We saw what prayer did for people. Oh, actually, the ones that prayed, most of them did worse. Well, I can imagine. Again, what you praying to? Who's your God? Huh? They've left out Jesus. Just because I pray for someone doesn't mean they're just going to walk up and jump up and the blind is going to be healed and the lame's going to do leaps and jumping jacks before me. No, but you know what? By His grace, I'm going to have the faith that they're healed in Him. See, there's a difference. People you talk to that don't know God, say, what do you mean by that? Now, you're not in that realm. You can't understand. You don't have enlightened eyes. You don't have faith. See, I see my brother and sister, I don't care if they're in a wheelchair or whatever, if they believe God, I want to look at them and say, you know what? That brother's seated right in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Isn't that not where he is? Now you say, oh, that's cop out. No, it's not. No, it ain't. I know God's going to have his way in that life. I know God can completely heal. He's going to do what he wants. And he can do his Lazarus if he wants. And also, I know that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints too. So I'm covered anyway. You can't lose with Jesus, huh? You just can't. You can't put him in a corner. You can't box him up. You can't tell him it's just going to be one way. Faith overcomes everything. It is. It just supersedes everything. You hear the trump card. You hear all this type of thing. That's your Jesus. I want to just stay there in him. Get there by the grace of God. Let him just take you that way. Forbearing. To cover. To cover what? Cover one another's sin. Not to expose. That's forbearing. And by grace to restore. That's nurturing one another. And then finally, it says there in this verse, it says to forgive completely in love as God does. There's no harboring and there's no remembrance of that sin, is there? Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, put on love. I think we read that in 1 Corinthians 13 in a lot of ways, huh? Which is the bond of perfectness, the complete, fully accomplished. And hallelujah, here is this bond, the completion of the wardrobe, these garments of meekness and patience and faith and kindness and humbleness and long-suffering that we have put on by His grace. This covering that unites all of these garments is love. And that word above here where it says in the 14th verse, and above, is also translated over all of this. And I appreciate it so much. This is the love that makes the garments glorious, because without love, and really understand this, because you'll see people on TV, you'll see things where the news will magnify these people. Oh, they were so kind, they were so forgiving, you know, so and so, they murdered his kid, and you know, they just got up there, no glory to God at all, but we forgive them because we want to have that free from our minds. Without love, brothers and sisters, it's profitless. And without love, it's not just profitless, it's filthy rags to God. Because it turns right into self-righteousness. I know people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus that are, as the world would say, and try to be some of the most kind and loving, long-suffering, meek people that you would ever be. But if God's Son is not being magnified and glorified in it, it's absolute wickedness. It's but dung. It's the thing that God, you know, truly hates. That filthiness that He talks about. So again, this love covering is so amazing. We need it. Hallelujah. We need to be arrayed in it. And in it, we are perfectly united with Him and with one another. The body is fitly joined, compacted. And by the grace of God, may we be clothed with the very righteousness of saints. See, that's a day that's coming. You'll see that new Jerusalem, the bride adorned. She's adorned with the righteousness of saints. I appreciate that. All right, verse 15. Let the peace of God. See again, here we go about let. Above all things, put on, let. These are choices that we have. But let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is the oneness in love that brings peace. If we don't have the love of God in our lives, you will never have peace. We talk about it all the time. The Word of God talks about it all the time. People cry peace and safety. Everybody wants peace. You cannot turn on a news channel, hear any government official talk for very long without mentioning peace. Never going to have it because it's in one thing. It's in love, and that is the love of God, and that is His Son. The world rejects His Son. The world rejects peace, love, kindness, compassion, all of those things. That's why it's so fragile all the time. They talk about fragile peace. Do you ever hear anything about in the Word of God that ever talks about fragile peace? I hear perfect peace. I hear peace that passes understanding in here. But I never have fragile peace in here. Because With God, it's all. It's complete. It's solid. It's a rock. It's a foundation. I praise Him for that. That, hallelujah, I can stand by His grace and dwell in perfect peace. Isn't that awesome? Perfect peace. He'll keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Oh, praise God. I so love Him for that. And this is grace upon grace. This is oneness in Him. And it also talks about thankfulness and thanksgiving and to be thankful. And I'll tell you one thing. When I have peace in my life, and I have had times in my life where I don't have peace in my life, and I think we've all been there, and I hope you're not there this evening. But when you have peace in your life, aren't you thankful? Oh, I'm thankful. I mean, when He gives me those times when I am just... Whew! I'm in faith's hand. Hallelujah. I'm trusting God. I am so thankful. Praise God. And at those times when the enemy's just trying to fight and say, oh, you know, take down that hedge a bit, God, I'll get at him. I'll show you who he'll curse. Getting a little bit hot, and I can say, whew, thank you, Lord, I've got peace. That's awesome. See, that's the love of God that passes the knowledge of men, isn't it? That's something that we can only attain and enter into in the heavenly. That's something that God has called you into. Again, talking about being and feeling that you're special. I don't need to just, you know, try to pump you up or whatever. You're an elect of God. Do you realize again who you are? You have been elected. He chose you. God. Oh, help us get it. Oh, help us get it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. But see, we have peace with God when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And now, by His grace, we can have the peace of God when we accept His will. When we say, Lord, reign over my life. Help me not to be selfish. Help me not to say, well, I need this, but I don't want that. Help me to say, Lord, Thy will be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but the Lord has it on my heart a little bit. But talking about, again, the wonderful Palm Sunday. And there, Jesus riding on that little ass colt there. And He's got the little donkey next to Him as well, too. And there's nobody riding on that other donkey. Uh-oh. Oh, amen. If we're going to take that road with Him, we're going to have to enter into humility with Him. We're going to have to go that way. See, people, they're all into the euphoria of everything going on. And, oh, I'm going to throw my clothes out there and put the palms down there. Why do you think He was weeping over all that stuff? There wasn't anybody really going with Him at that time. It was a lonely road. And we get up on that little colt with Him. It's going to be a lonely road, brothers and sisters. We're going to face that. We're going to have the humiliation. But, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. But for the joy that's set before me, oh, ho, ho. Yeah. No temptation for the moment seems very pleasing, seems very pleasant. But the joy that's going to be revealed, the glory that's going to be revealed, isn't worthy to be compared with what we're going to right now. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have that kind of... See, that's peace. Knowing to me is peace. When I know something, that gets me peace. I, again, remember math class many times. There was a lot of non-peace. when you didn't know, you know, you got the test out there and you didn't know that problem and, you know, Pythagorean theorem just left the building and you needed it. There was not peace. Or, you know, when you didn't prepare, there was not peace, right? But what peace when you came in and you knew the answers, huh? Yeah. How about the peace that we know the answer? Oh, I love it. He's my answer for everything. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll stay with this. Okay. But this peace, hallelujah, caused God Himself. We read this in Hebrews there in the fourth chapter, 10th verse. We won't go there. But this was the very peace of God that caused God Himself to rest after the creation, after those 6 days of creating. He knew it was good. He knew it was good because His Son was there. And it was all being placed in His Son's hand. Hallelujah. And it says in the Word of God there in Hebrews that we can enter into the same rest as God entered into when we cease from what? our own works. Let that speak to you so. I mean, again, talk about just that entangled web and that mess that we can get our lives into when Jesse tries to handle it. When Jesse tries to go out and fix this. Oh, it's broken, and I already broke it anyways, probably, and now I'm trying to fix the brokenness. That's going to just get into the biggest quagmire I've ever been in. Cease from it, brothers and sisters. Watch the mighty hand of God. Think about in Egypt there, all them complaining and everything and murmuring all the time. Moses was sitting there thinking, man, God, just destroy us all. And then God would just tell him, brother, you know, thank you for trusting me. I appreciate the faithfulness I've put in your life. Watch the mighty hand of God. Isn't that a marvel? Are you watching that in your life today? I hope you are. He's doing a greater work than parting that sea, than throwing that water out of that rock, than bringing them locusts, than doing all that stuff. God is doing a bigger work today and a greater miracle in preparing the bride for Him than ever was done. Ever was done. Believe it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's run to this 16th verse, Lord willing. Keeping you a little bit over, but I'd like to get through the 16 and 17 here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And again, notice, it's let. It's not striving. It's not doing. It's not working, but it's letting. It's yielding. It's being the man of God through His wondrous word and by the grace of God. I want wisdom in my life. And hallelujah, the only thing that's going to give it to me is the word of God working in me richly. It's profitable wisdom. There are wisdoms out there in the world, brothers and sisters, that are not profitable. There are worldly wisdoms. There is wisdom of evil. There's wisdom of works. There's lots of these different wisdoms, in a sense, that are hitting us from all angles. And you know what those wisdoms do? They rob and they steal. And they'll destroy your life if you go after them. But there is a wisdom and there is a knowledge that's profitable. And it's only going to be found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It is the wisdom, the unsearchable riches that are in Christ. This is growing in grace. Hallelujah. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is trusting that if we would be otherwise minded. I love that in Philippians there. Even if we're otherwise minded. And I appreciate my brother bringing this out to me again. He'll even reveal that unto us. Isn't that wonderful? See, you're not perfect in any way. God keeps you. Even as you have zeal to go after God, even if you get a little off track, by the grace of God, if I have that repentant heart, if I have that heart that's the man after God's own heart, He'll even make that known unto me. There was a brother named Apollos, and I believe that's one of the greatest examples we've ever had in the Word of God. There was a man of mighty zeal. He was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Lord sent him Priscilla and Aquila, and they showed him a way more perfectly unto God. Didn't it? Hallelujah. God loves you. He's after His very best in His people. And he who wills to know is going to know. It's a guarantee. It's not about me having to get to Him and all that. If I'm the vessel that God uses, praise Him for it. But you know what? It's not about me. By the grace of God, I just plan it. And who's going to give the increase? Sister so-and-so, brother what? No, He gives the increase. Praise God. And He's the one that gives the increase in your life too. It's not you. It's not our goodness. Praise Him. Praise Him. Okay. So many Christians again today want to be preachers. They want to be missionaries. And the sad part is they don't know any truth to give out His word. And a lot of people say, oh, brother, you shouldn't say that. But in closing, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 15. It's Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 15. See what the sweet apostle, the Lord had him to say. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He was pretty right to the point, wasn't he? Yep. Come on. Who's bewitched ye, Galatians? Come on. Again and again and again. He woke them up, but he did it in love. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have the need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. And not a strong meat. They even needed the milk to get back to where they were. They've moved so far away from God. Back into ceremony. You see what that does to your life? Oh, I'm keeping days, brother. Oh, man, I've got to have accountability. That's the big one. And I'm going to keep hitting on that. I'm going to keep hitting on that by the grace of God. There's a big movement in this accountability stuff, brothers and sisters. Don't get caught up into it. That's just self-righteousness. Amen. God will cause you to be accountable. Hallelujah. He'll work it in you. Do you believe He'll work that good way in you? I believe He will. Do you believe that He'll work in you to do and to will of His good pleasure? I believe He'll do that in my life because He said He would. I don't believe anywhere in here it ever says that I have to watch my accountability and be this and this and this and this to God. It doesn't say that anywhere in here. It says let. It says be. Thank you, Lord. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I want the meat of the Word of God. I want to be full age. I want to be able to discern good and evil. I want Him to be able to remind me, even if I'm otherwise minded, I love you, son. I know you're after my best. I'm going to give you a little knock here and get you back into seeing the things of God and the way more perfectly. And that's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Okay. And again, kind of wrapping up that little verse there, knowing grace causes our heart to sing. We can't help it, can we? Psalms. I love those Psalms. I hope that you read them. If there's something you ever want to do at night, just read it. Hallelujah. Appreciated the one sister talking about the 37th Psalm, the 116th Psalm. They're all wonderful. They've all got treasure in them. Let it, the Lord just sing you. That was the Psalms. Psalmster was precious David and singing those things and praises to God. Let it be your praise. Let these wonderful hymns that the Lord has allowed the Brother Copleys and Sister Bodies and all of these different ones to sing. A lot of people kind of mock it. Oh, that kind of music you play in here? Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm on the Beverly Hillbillies. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Get your heart in tune with it and it'll sing out of you. It'll give you something. You might, you know, and let me tell you something. If there's anybody that appreciates music, I think I'm in the top of the top. I love music. I love beautiful music. I like to sing. I like to do lots of things probably I shouldn't like to do either. But at the same time, God, let Him put that song in your heart. And it'll be a song that just lifts you all the time. I appreciate the whistling of Brother Hill all the time and kind of whistle myself. And I appreciate that. Finally, let's wrap it up. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This is such a vital verse. It's all in Jesus. It's nothing of ourselves. All praise and honor and glory need to go to Him. It hurts me. And I'm going to tell you, my kids go to a Christian school and a lot of times I hear prayers. And a lot of people say, oh, you're just being critical, that don't have the name of Jesus in them. Now they'll say, you're being too strict. I don't believe I am. I believe that's what the Word of God tells me. There's no other name given among heaven whereby you must be saved. All, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And when I can say that name in praise, there isn't any other name that I want to say. Do you ever catch yourself just in the day? Most of the time I know you're alone. It kind of lock you up, maybe. Maybe you can't even sometimes in your crowd. Just saying Jesus. Jesus. I love that song. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, man. That brings immediate comfort to me. But you see, brothers and sisters, there's becoming a form of godliness, isn't there? They're denying the power thereof. You're hearing people pray all the time anymore. And we think it's good. Don't get caught up into it. I really do appreciate any thoughts, in a sense, toward God. But at the same time, they're not toward God if they're not in His Son. It missed the mark. There's one way. And that self-called goodness that we might think is wickedness to Him. Because it doesn't acknowledge His Son. We're celebrating a time here in the next couple weeks. God gave that Son to die. And in the natural, if I gave my Son to die for you and you despised Him and rejected Him, I would be just a little torqued. I would be just a little hurt. Now we're talking about I am. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. who became the Lamb. He became my Lamb, my Lamb, my Lamb. I don't want to just keep going. We'll just stop it. And I just praise Him and thank Him that we can have this time. I appreciate you bearing with me a little bit. I don't mean to keep you too long, but I believe the Lord wanted us to get through this part. But we're celebrating the Lamb slain coming up. Huh? But how about every day? Remember me. Remember me. Oh, every day. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for this time. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that this is the riches of eternity. Help us to not just think lightly of this. I don't believe we do when we come out on a Wednesday. But again, it's not our great effort. It's just the grace of God, because it's our profit and it's our benefit. But thank you that you've caused us worthy to come and to share and to hear your word and to enter into love, Lord God. Thank you again for your great grace, and just continue to encourage us in your word as we go our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.